Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This is Metroscope, an Entercom Portland Public Affairs program. I'm Preston Highfield. Joining us this time on Metroscope is Jeff Curtis, CEO of the Portland Rose Festival Foundation. As the festival's CEO for the past dozen years, Jeff has successfully overseen three major strategic efforts, including seeing Rose Festival through the celebration of its heralded centennial and the subsequent downturn in the economy. During that time, the festival remodeled its board governance, transitioned to a 501 nonprofit, and was finally named the official festival of the city of Portland more than a century after its inception. Working closely with the city, Jeff was able to broker the festival's first ever stable headquarters, an ideal location in the center of Portland's waterfront park. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on, man. We're happy to have you.
Oh, I really appreciate you being on. I appreciate you asking me to be here.
Absolutely. So I was reading on your guys' website. Obviously, this is a festival that many folks in the Portland area know about. It has a great history. It's been around for a long time, over 100 years, in fact. And I was reading that it was originally founded by basically city leaders who wanted to make Portland the summer capital of the world and do that through a festival, through events. Obviously, we know all about the fantastic weather we have in Portland during the summertime. As a guy who was born and raised here myself, talk to us a bit about kind of what you know about the history of the Portland Rose Festival and kind of the evolution of it over the years into what it's become today and what you guys are doing today.
Well, that's a great story. You know, 1905, go all the way back to 1905, the Lewis and Clark centennial celebration was taking place, acknowledging that very famous trek from east to west. And Portland was a big part, Oregon was a big part of that whole trek across the country. And in 1905, they wanted to commemorate that, and they had a huge celebration. Over a million people came, and this is in 1905. It was hard to get around back then. And over a million people came to Portland, Oregon, and as part of this exposition and fair. And the city leaders, as that wrapped up in 1905, they're like, wow, look what that did for us. It brought all these people here. They enjoyed our city. How can we turn that around and make it do that every year? And thus, city leaders, just 2 years later, created the Rose Carnival, which is what it was called in the first year, which was modeled after that celebration. And that's formally the Rose Festival started, 1907. And the floral heritage was just part of that story, because Portland and its climate and roses were part of it. Let's brand this city as roses. And so from 1907 till today, it's been the Portland Rose Festival, and a 112-year tradition, an amazing story. And the true purpose is still exists today. Those city leaders said, let's do something. Let's bring people to Portland. Let's show them this great place we live. Let's showcase it. Let's create some economic buzz and activity. And that's one reason they created Rose Festival. And that's absolutely very true still today. And the secondary part is let's unite our people, the people that live here in a certain time of year where everybody's excited. Summer's come right here or almost here. And let's just have a celebration so we all can be united as friends and neighbors as a secondary purpose. And like I said, 112 years later, we're still doing that, Preston. That's what's pretty special about our story and our history.
Yeah, you guys are doing something right, and people have been doing something right for a long time for it to be going on for over a century, for that long, 112 years, like you said. Jeff Curtis, CEO, Portland Rose Festival Foundation, joining us this time on Metroscope. I'm on your guys' website. Anyone out there listening right now can check it out, rosefestival.org. There's a bunch of valuable information on there. There's a calendar. The event is kicking off this weekend, actually, as we speak. I guess we can just start there and what you're excited about that you guys have going on, you know, this year, this time around. I know it's kind of a broad question. You have concerts and lots of local businesses involved. But yeah, talk to us about kind of what you have planned for this year and what you're excited about.
Well, you certainly helped out by acknowledging the website. We like to say you can create your own festival experience because there's too much to cover in the scope of our conversation. But in a nutshell, you know, we have this 3 full weeks of celebratory activities, over 30 different events for design where anybody and everybody can participate, and a lot of them are free with the parades and then the waterfront. But then you break down kind of what I'm excited about, we look forward and we spend the bulk of our resources time is we divide it into really two major categories: the waterfront activities, which is City Fair, which is your urban celebration in the downtown core, filled with carnival, great food, and music as part of City Fair. And that's where when you talk about the music, that's an evolution of Rose Festival that's changed over in the last probably 5 or 6 years. We've really made a commitment and investment to bring in some national talent on a large stage. While it's not a music festival format, we do have some amazing shows this year. We have Country Fest, which is a fantastic concert featuring Low Cash and Uncle Cracker. It'll be on the big Rose Zone stage, the Bob Lanphier Beaverton Honda Rose Zone stage. And then you'll have a show called Roots and Boots down here at the waterfront, which is a throwback 90s country show, in addition to a lot of local entertainment, too, that's mixed in. So, and then when you're walking around the event, if music's not your thing, you just want to hang out with friends, there's 6 different beverage stations filled with, you can have everything from Bloody Marys to your favorite craft beer from Widmer to a great glass of wine. And so it's so much more than just what it used to be a couple decades ago, when it's so well known for its carnival. But the carnival is still a huge attraction. Who doesn't love riding rides? As a kid, I grew up riding rides, and it's just so, you can see that every year when we set the carnival up. It is certainly a big draw, and that's part of it. So the waterfront and City Fair is a big piece we're excited about. Then you marry that up with Fleet Week on the final weekend of our festival. That's very unique for us to have these ships come to town, and which is amazing tradition here. So that's waterfront in a nutshell, and while we can go into more detail on our website. The other aspect that I'll share, which is the secondary piece, and it's not secondary in the nature of a priority, but it's certainly just the second piece of the conversation, is parades. In Portland, Oregon, we love parades, and there are a lot of parades in our community and a lot of parades around the country, but Rose Festival does parades on a national, international scale. If you look at the schedule with the Starlight Parade, a nighttime, illuminated, fun, zany, free-spirited, great nighttime parade, family-focused event. People, or 250,000 people, come downtown on June 1st. And then our Junior Parade, the largest kids parade in the country, on June the 5th. Taking place in the Hollywood District, and then on June 8th, you're looking at the very event the Rose Festival was founded on, when the Carnival of Roses was taking place, the Grand Floral Parade, which is a floral parade with floral floats, equestrian units, and marching bands. A real true spectacle. So that's a long way of saying, well, there's a lot going on, but the waterfront and the parades are kind of the centerpieces of the 2019 Portland Rose Festival.
No, I really appreciated it, and I can't emphasize enough, rosefestival.org is the website. I'm looking at the parades right now. Folks who are listening, you can go on there as well and find out more information. They truly, I'm not just greasing this up, they truly look incredible in terms of just the sheer amount of people who are in these pictures, kind of the way they're all dressed up, the pageantry, if you will. It's really cool looking, Jeff. So I know we're all excited for it. There's certainly no shortage of things to do out there, no matter what you like to do. And hey, it's Memorial Day weekend, so if anyone's, you know, staying in for this weekend or even going into next week, obviously there's a lot of different things you can do. As I pull up the calendar here, May 24th was the official start date, and then it'll run. Does it run all the way through June? I mean, what's kind of the date range here that we're talking about?
The core celebration period goes through June 9th, but the festival activities don't conclude. But the core celebration of how we're using the waterfront concludes on June 9th. But then we have some satellite events that are part of the festival calendar that are important that still take place a little bit later in June. You have the Good in the Hood celebration, which is a fantastic event as part of our calendar that takes place on June 21st and 23rd, and then the milk carton boat races on June 23rd. Those are just events that happen to fall a little bit outside that core calendar window, but are very important to a Rose Festival in our community, so we have that part of Rose Festival. And then last but not least, we do a lot of work with the LPGA, putting your sports hat on. We help produce the Cambia Portland Classic, which is the LPGA event out at Clubby Edgewater on all the way into Labor Day weekend, but that's the kind of the nutshell. Core 3 weeks in June is the core celebration, right? And then a few satellite events later in June, and then Labor Day weekend we're involved in the LPGA Cambia Portland Classic.
Fantastic. And I'm looking at some various events. The Dragon Boat Race, June 8th through the 9th, looks pretty sweet. Are these events, that one's free to the public, are these events free to the public, and how does the public get involved, I guess, so to say, logistics, you know? Where would you recommend if people, for example, at the Tom McCall Waterfront Park, people want to, you know, check everything out that's going on right there in Southwest, where do people park? Does it cost? How would you kind of describe a good way to attend this event for folks listening?
You bet. The best way to get around, and this is in a great urban city like we have, with a lot of the events taking place in this downtown core, is public transportation system is fantastic. There's been a lot of investment and strategy on that, and that's by far the best way. TriMet gets you, whether by bus or by MAX, gets you within walking distance of City Fair, Fleet Week, parade routes. Get you right on the parade routes, for example, if you're going to the parade. So that's by far the best way to get down. There is still a lot of ancillary parking in the downtown core, especially on the weekends when the business users aren't parking them for daily use. So there's a lot of availability if you are driving downtown as well. And of course, good old fashioned bicycles and scooters nowadays help you get around. So that's the number one thing, is the ease of getting here by public transportation makes it pretty simple. And then when you're down here, when I describe the core celebratory area of the downtown core, there's things you can enjoy that are just part of the festival that you can walk around, and there are no fees associated with that. The Dragon Boat Races, for example, you can come down here and watch those. You can go, if you get here early enough, you can get in line to get it, go view the ships free of charge. You can look at the floral floats on June 8th and 9th, park down here on NATO Parkway, and just see the craftsmanship of those floats at no charge. And then if you want to, and then City Fair, there is a $8 admission for the City Fair event, but kids 6 and under are free. And there's also an advanced discount of $3 if you want to buy an admission ticket in advance and not worry about the lines and things. You can go to our website as well. So still very economical when you look at events these days and kind of the what you get for that. And then if you're looking at some of the larger concerts, those are ticketed concerts that are available as well. So a lot of it in a nutshell. Transportation, you can get down here, and a lot to see and do, whether you pay to get in or just want to be kind of just check it out and be part of Portland during the Rose Festival. You can do that as well.
No doubt. This is Jeff Curtis, CEO of Portland Rose Festival Foundation, joining us this time on Metroscope. The Portland Rose Festival is underway as we speak. I have here, you are the chair of the World Board of International Festivals and Events Association. You ended a term there. That sounds interesting. And talk to us about how the Portland Rose Festival, you would say, stacks up to events that you've seen worldwide. I guess off the top of my head, when I think of festivals and events, as someone who's 25 right now, I think of, you know, music festivals. I think of a South by Southwest in Austin, or a right. or a music festival in California, or even up here in the Gorge. Do you look at other festivals and kind of take away positive things that they do and bring them into the Portland Rose Festival? How from your position as someone who's worked, organizing festivals for so long, how have you kind of combined everything you've seen into what you do to help stack up the Portland Rose Festival?
It actually gives me a lot of energy and drive to see what other communities are doing, both locally, not locally, even local events, but national or international, and then to share that, what we do, with other events, and this sharing economy, which is very interesting about event world. There's a lot of great ideas that are duplicated in other cities, and they'd be brand new for one city, they're not new for another. But in my case, in the Rose Festival case, is that the Rose Festival is very unique in its very approach to be it's a nonprofit. It's not a for-profit music festival entity put on by a major music industry leadership core. It's a group of men and women that are working hard year-round. This is going back 100 years that are just trying to do something great for Portland, and that's rather unique in this celebration period where it's 3 weeks long, all these different events. The similarities that you'll see nationally is similar to the Kentucky Derby Festival in Louisville, Kentucky.
Wow.
You'll see it's very similar, Rose Festival, similar to the Indy 500 Festival, very similar to the Memphis in May celebration. And with Memphis in May, it has its Beale Street Music Festival. It's kind of that signature. So these are our celebrations that they're done so in the sake of an entire city scope, with designed to have multiple activities. And usually there's like one or two big things in those cases of Indy 500 or Kentucky Derby. Those are the signature sporting events. What Portland has that's very unique is our parades are actually that. You know, we don't have this signature sporting event during this 3 week festival period, but our parades is what defines us. And how I can say that with great appreciation is when I travel as part of this board, that's what people think about. They think about the Rose Festival and its how it connects with locals and how it has these world-class parades. That's what defines us. And as I wrap that question up, I could talk a lot about the IFEA, which as you refer to. It's the International Festival Events Association. Rose Festival helped found that organization 55 years ago. So as me as CEO and representing Rose Festival, it's an honor to be part of that conversation. This is an organization of 3,000 events worldwide. Amazing events. Music festivals are part of it. Bowl games are part of it. And Rose Festival is part of this organization. And I was able to be its board chair, just wrap that up, and traveled to some great events in Korea and in Denmark, and sharing what we do in Portland, but also learning a great deal and trying to adapt that here.
So the obvious follow-up there for me as a sports guy, so for folks who know or who may not know that I work for The Fan as well, producing shows, how does this Portland Rose Festival compare to the Kentucky Derby Festival? I'm curious about that.
It's a great question. See, the Kentucky Derby Festival is a celebration. Even though the Derby is that signature one-day race on a Saturday afternoon in May, leading up to that, Louisville is filled with activities as part of this Derby Festival. And there is a major parade. There's a waterfront on their river. There's concerts. There's about 60 different events. That's quite similar to Rose Festival. It's a collection of many events that are celebrating that part of Kentucky. And it just happens to be part of, at the end of that core window, 3 weeks, is that famous race, that 2.5 minutes in sports.
Yeah.
That defines that. But if you didn't have that race, you would have a very similar situation of parades and waterfront activities and music and concerts that's celebrating Louisville and their quality of life and all the things that we do here in Portland. So they're very similar, with the exception is we don't have a horse race, but we have some amazing parades.
I think that's a great way to phrase it. I really do, and kind of a great way to put it, because a lot of people do think, oh yeah, everyone's just getting fancy and drinking just for the horse race, but they're just kind of celebrating in general, and that's a good way to kind of look at the Rose Festival here. Jeff Curtis, CEO, joining us this time on Metroscope, and we have the Portland Rose Festival underway. How long have you been involved with the Rose Festival Foundation and just putting something like this together? I mean, I imagine it's a tremendous challenge, also rewarding as well. I asked you before we got on, are you popping a bottle of champagne yet? And you said no, we're gonna do that later on in June or afterwards when it's all done. But what's it like just kind of putting together such a big event like this that goes on for a couple weeks?
A little personal part of that, and you being on the fan in sports. My background's in sports business. I worked for a minor league baseball team in my early 20s and then worked for the Seattle Mariners in the late 90s. And I love the events of sports. And I moved here in 1998 to take this job for the Portland Rose Festival, and it was a little bit of an adjustment for me because I wasn't dealing with professional athletes and sponsorships and of a sports property. I was dealing with this community event. And I quickly learned that in Portland, Oregon, this Rose Festival is as significant of an event and culturally as important as a sports franchise in a major city. I learned that just because of just being around and about and talking to people and what it means and all the history of people coming to the parades every year. And so that's kind of a driver for me. I've been doing this for 21 years, over 12 as its CEO, and it's truly a rewarding experience to do this and for this community celebration. And it takes a lot of resources. While we have a great history, we always have to look to reinvent ourselves, be relevant, because Portland's population is changing, demographics change, people's interests change, and Rose Festival has to stay with the times. And that's a balancing act that we play. But as part of my efforts is a great, young, innovative staff that helps drive that, a fantastic group of citizens that are board members that help do that, and thousands of volunteers. But collectively, the Rose Festival takes about 11 or 12 months to create. So when we wrap this up, I mentioned that, you know, as you highlighted that, it's like we'll celebrate once it's over, but we'll just quickly be in meetings and recapping and going, what's next? What's the next festival look like? And automatically go into that mode and remember that what we're here for, which is about Portland and Oregon and people that live here, and creating events that they're proud of, and that also that people will want to come and travel here to take part in. So it's a big project. Like I said, 11 or 12 months out of the year, we're working on it full time year round. Got a staff of 13 here year round that do that, and like I said, over 1,000 volunteers that just that help put it all together.
Man, comparing the Rose Festival to a pro sports franchise, and I think it's a great comparison. See, I knew we would click, Jeff. I knew that you'd find a way to put it in my terms, and hopefully for people out there as well can listen to just, you know, how important, and that was really good perspective of how much preparation it takes, and how important it is to the city as well. And hopefully we can also have a pro baseball team here in the future, which I know a lot of people are praying for and talk to us about all the time. At the fan. All right, we got about a couple minutes left here. So, yeah. Again, just what can people kind of expect from this year's festival? I think you'd mentioned some musical artists who will be appearing earlier in the interview. But, yeah, I mean, what can people expect? What events are you looking forward to here in the next couple weeks?
There's a couple of things that I think the listeners should really pay attention to, especially if you've been no Rose Festival schedule, which doesn't change too much every year. Saturday night, June 1st, this is a bit putting here, it's funny we're talking about sports again, but we'll talk Timbers soccer, home opener. Saturday night, they've been on the road for what, 3 months? And they are going to get that 4,000 add-on to Providence Park open to the public on Saturday, June 1st, the very same time and the very same night as Starlight Parade, when there's a quarter of a million people coming down here for the Starlight Parade. So the message there is that, boy, plan ahead. It's going to be an amazing night in Portland, Oregon, whether you're coming to the Timbers game or you're coming to the parade, you're going to try to do both. But the thing that's also changed as part of that, as part of logistically and just making it work better, is the famous Starlight Run, which is about 5,000 runners. It's moving from Lincoln High School to Waterfront Park down here at City Fair. Start-finish line will be down here, kind of relieve some of that congestion. Still the same race. You're going to run along the Starlight Parade route with the thousands of people watching you, but it'll just start and finish down here at Waterfront Park, as well as it's going to start a little bit sooner, 7 p.m. start time. So I think I'm looking forward to Saturday. Saturday night that night just because there's so much activity going on. Portland's just going to be a buzz, and it's going to be a great night for whether you're a Timbers fan or you're a perennial parade goer. But I think that's important for everybody to know that change and what's happening on that night. But when you look at it collectively, I also say, and this is going on this weekend as we're talking, and they're about to wrap it up, is the we got professional disc golf in town at a Blue Lake Park, a brand new Rose Festival event. And that takes us out of the core, which is great. We like to diversify our events across the metro area, and the best world disc golfers are in town competing in the Portland Open. That's taking place as part of our calendar as well.
Awesome. Well, Jeff, hat tip to you for getting behind this and being, I know you said you have a big team behind you as well, but just everything that you guys have done to organize a great event that certainly a ton of people in the area have known about for a long time and have enjoyed for a long time, myself included. So, yeah, thanks for what you guys do, and best of luck, and I'll keep the fingers crossed that the weather gods oblige, as they often do this time of year in May and June here in the Portland area. And yeah, thanks for coming on, man, and best of luck with the rest of the couple of weeks here.
I really appreciate having me on. I appreciate the note about the weather. It's the one thing we can't control amongst a few other things, and we'll have it no matter what, but it's always a lot more fun when the weather's great.
Hey, Oregonians are always ready, man. They are always ready.
Right.
Yeah, just bring a light rain jacket. They're ready for anything. Thanks, Jeff. Really appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
We were talking today with Jeff Curtis, CEO of the Portland Rose Festival Foundation. Metroscope is an Entercom Portland Public Affairs program. I'm Preston Highfield. If you're involved with a nonprofit or public affairs organization, or if you have an idea for an upcoming show, I'd like to hear from you. Visit metroscopepdx.com and submit your ideas. You can also go to the station's website and submit your information there. Thanks for listening to Metroscope, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.